Well, this morning, before we get started with the new sermon series, I've got somebody I want to come and talk with you a little bit. It's a young lady that is connected with our church and has been for years. Michelle Coker is going to come. She is the daughter of Wade and Deanna Coker that are missionaries in Africa. And she has surrendered to missions, and God has called her to the mission field. And she'll be leaving soon, going to school and preparing to go to Austria as a journeyman for 2 years. So I wanted her to come as we talked, and her to come and share with you what God is doing and the ministry that He's laid on her heart that she'll be doing there. And then us as a church to commit to pray for her and to support her and encourage her and to be an anchor for her in the days ahead. So Michelle, you come and share what God's doing and what He's leading in your life.
Do I need a microphone? Or can you hear me? Okay. Hi. I'm Michelle. Most of you guys know me, and a lot of you are my family, so that's cool. I'm really happy to be here. Like Brother Neil said, you guys have been huge in my life. And we were here not all the time, but every time we were back here, you guys made sure that I had a home base and that I had a community that was going to pour into me and grow me spiritually. And I'm so thankful for that. I want to begin by thanking you for a lot of other things that you've done in my life. You've been faithful to give to Ladder Moon and the cooperative program, and because of y'all's faithfulness, I was able to get a good education along with my brothers, where generally people don't even finish sixth grade and there aren't schools, but we were able to do that now because of you guys. And when we lived in a place where we didn't have this Christian community, where we didn't have Sunday school teachers or people other than our parents to teach about Christ, you, by giving, supported other missionaries that were able to be there and were able to be our teachers at schools. And those people were able to invest in us spiritually and show us, as well as teach us, how to grow for Christ. And so that's thanks to you guys. And also I want to thank you for being faithful to go, just like this mission trip that just went to Malawi. And I heard, was it 1,000 kids showed up? Is that right? That's crazy. Okay, and did VBS. A team similar to that came out into VBS for us, the MKs, whenever our parents were in meetings, and that's when I came to know the Lord. So you guys being faithful to go when God calls you is the reason I know Christ today, so thank you for that. I also want to thank you for being faithful to pray. I don't know if you know, pretty much everyone in our family has had malaria at least once. I've had it 5 times, and my brothers have had ridiculous injuries, and my dad needed to be medically evacuated, and every time one of these things came up, you guys were praying, and God heard those prayers, and God answered those prayers, and He's provided for us, and you guys have been instrumental in my life, and I want to thank you for that, and I'm here today, and I'm just asking you to continue doing what you're doing. I'm about to go back overseas, so that's not super weird, because that's been my life, but it's going to be in a different capacity. Before, it's always been, I just kind of went with my parents, and I had ministry opportunities, but that wasn't my primary focus. I was just a kid, and I was just going to school and enjoying my life and growing. I'm called to go to Vienna, Austria. I'm going to be with the IMB, the same organization my parents are with, and I'm going to be a journeyman serving there for 2 years. Primarily, at the beginning, I'm going to be working with university students, which is about ages 17 to 30, because university's free there, which is cool. But so people stay and get multiple degrees. I'm also going to be working with some local ministries. One of them is, it's out of a local church, and they work with women who have been in prostitution and sex trafficking. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize, in Austria, prostitution is illegal. And so it's just this added on layer that you have society telling you that that's okay and that that's your only worth for these women. So they need so much prayer, and it's just, there's so many barriers. And spiritually, Austria is going to be the most difficult place that I've ever been. churches are really places that tourists go. My supervisor, he has been there for quite a few years and had been developing a relationship with this man. And my supervisor, his name's Mike, had come back to the U.S. for about 6 months. And when he got back, he found out that man had spent those 6 months actively studying atheism with the intention of talking him out of his beliefs, which he saw as ignorant. So basically that's what I'm going into, is people that they're going to hell and they don't realize it. And they think that having Christian beliefs is just outdated and ignorant. And so it's hard to even get them to a point where they will believe that a God exists. And if you can get them to that point, a lot of people in Austria struggle with a lot of guilt over their heritage. Austria was on the last, in the last World War, Austria was on the wrong side. And a lot of people, they don't have, like, how we're able this weekend to celebrate pride in our nation, a lot of them don't have that. And if they can get to a point where they believe in God, it is hard for them to understand and believe that that God could forgive and love them. So, they need prayers for that. I'm asking that you'll partner with me to continue to give to Lottie Moon and to the Cooperative Program. And I want to stay connected with you guys, and I want to connect you to the work that's going on in Austria. And so I'm going to be sending updates on the ministry that's going on there. And also, I want to give you guys specific things that you can pray about, not just, remember Austria, the people need it. I want to give you guys specific names of people and what God's doing in their lives and the conversations that we're able to have. So I have these clipboards, they're down here, and prayer cards for you, and it's got all my information on the back if you want to connect with me on Facebook or email me, and just however works for you, I'm willing to do that because I need you guys' support and your prayer. If you want more details, I'm going to be here for about a week and a half before I leave, and just come talk to me, call me, write me on Facebook. I'd love to meet with you. It's really big. And I'm not scared because I have confidence, because I know it's too big for me, but I know that it's not too big for my God.
Amen.
And these people, God has just kind of broken my heart for them. And I need your prayers, but so much more they need your prayers, because they have no idea that they have a God who loves them. So I just want to close today by reading you from 1 Timothy 2:1-4, and God has called me to go to Austria, but he's called all of us to pray.
That's right.
And I just want this to encourage you guys in that. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thank you guys so much.
Amen. Michelle and I didn't talk about it, but at the end of the service today, I want us to have a time of prayer for her and for some of our church body, both deacons and a laity, and people to come up, and we'll pray with her and lay hands on her and pray over her and commit to pray with her and for her that God will use her in these coming years. Well, today we're going to start a new series called Freedom. This being the month where we celebrate the freedom of our country. I wanted to, as I was preparing and praying and leading up to this, I just felt led to talk about the freedom that we have in Christ. What does it mean to be truly free? Because really, honestly, none of us have a really good understanding of what it means to be free. Because in America, we have this idea that freedom is, well, I can do what I want, live how I want, do whatever I want, and nobody can tell me how to do what I want to do. We think that's freedom. And we're proud of freedom in America. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Our pledge declares that our flag represents the freedoms that we enjoy. Even in our national anthem, we declare that this is the land of the free We look forward to and we're excited about our freedom. We hail that this is the last bastion of freedom in the world. And as Americans, we proudly embrace this idea. But even in the shining light of freedom, we're under authority. We have laws. We have authority over us that we have to answer to. And we've got this misguided idea that true freedom is the absence of authority. And the world has bought into this idea that we just need to reject absolute authority. We need to reject this God that these Christians are talking about because he's just heavy-handed. It's outdated. We don't want anyone to tell us what to do. So we simply just reject this authority of God, and our country is thinking that leads to freedom. Well, there's no such thing as being in a place of absolute freedom. When I was a teenager, you know, remember when you were a teenager, all of you that are close to my age, you were 12, 13 years old, you're starting to feel a little bit independent, and you're thinking, man, when I get 18, I'm moving out. And I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. You ever been there? I was. I had those same thoughts, and if you're honest, you probably do, and all you teenagers probably thinking the same thing. When I get 18, I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody can tell me any different. Well, you may be saying, well, when I get 21, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to move out from my parents' house. Well, my experience as a teenager was really good. I had godly parents that loved me. And they had rules. I had a curfew, times I had to be in. There were things I could do and things I couldn't do. They had rules, and I was under their authority. And as I look back, have you ever looked back on this side of 21 and said, man, I wish I could move back into mom and daddy's house. Man, I wish I could go back to like it used to be. Because even though we were under our parents' authority, there was great freedom. I mean, yeah, I had some rules I had to live by. There were things that I could do and couldn't do. There were some consequences when I went outside those boundaries that mom and dad said, but there was great freedom. I didn't have to worry about who was paying the power bill. I didn't have to worry about who was paying the car note and the insurance. I didn't have to worry about getting up every day and going to work and making sure I made a paycheck. I didn't have to worry about who was paying the house note. I didn't have to worry about all that stuff, especially as a preteen. All I had to do was get up in the morning, do what little chores I had to do, and then play the rest of the day. That's freedom. And see, today I want us to begin to understand that true freedom is found in Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse 31. Jesus is talking to Jews, and he's telling them truths, and he says, I am the truth, and I am the one who has come. I'm the Messiah, and he's trying to help them understand the Word of God. And it says in verse 31 that there are some Jews that are starting to believe. But there's a barrier to their belief, is this idea of freedom. So if you will stand with me and we'll begin reading in verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Then he answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. Lord God, today as we are in the middle of this weekend where we celebrate the freedoms we have in America. We celebrate the opportunities we have to live our lives choosing what place we want to live or what profession we pursue. But God, our country and many of us, Lord, are still enslaved. Lord, we profess to be free. We pursue this idea of freedom. But God, we're in bondage. And Lord, I pray today that as we spend some time in your word and we spend some time in your presence, may your Holy Spirit begin to transform our ideas, our thoughts, our desires. And God, may we truly find the freedom that we seek that can only be found when we surrender to Jesus. And Lord, I pray that those of us who know you as Lord and Savior, that God, we would begin to live in the freedom that has been purchased for us on the cross. We'd begin to live surrendered to you so that we can experience the freedom of a child, of a son, of a daughter, of the living God. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. See, the reality is, as Jesus says, the one that commits sin is a slave to sin. The reality is that in the Bible, when we live in submission to God's authority, we find freedom in God's authority. We find freedom in a relationship with God. So today I want us to hopefully kind of unpack that and begin to understand it a little bit more. This idea of slavery, this idea of being enslaved, because we're all under authority. Paul puts it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. He says, "Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are the slave of the one to whom you obey? Either you're a slave to sin, resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness." Paul is telling this church at Rome, these Romans who are the rulers of the world, who are free, who are citizens of the most powerful world, and have the most freedom of anyone in history up to that point. He's telling, look, the reality is that everyone is under authority. Everyone is a slave. You're a slave to who you obey. So what he's telling them is look, we've just got to decide to whom or to what are we going to be enslaved. Jesus says that the one who sins, who continues in sin, is a slave to sin. But Jesus said, if you want to experience what real freedom is, you become a slave of God. And today, my prayer, my desire, my petition to you is, let's choose to be slaves of God. And in that slavery, there is great freedom. In that slavery to God, in that obedience to God, there is great joy and peace and purpose. So Jesus in John chapter 8 is talking to these Jews and they're beginning to obey him and beginning to understand that he's the Messiah, beginning to believe that he's the Messiah. But just believing that he's the Messiah is not enough. Jesus said in other places in Matthew 7, 21 and 22, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter the kingdom." So Jesus is telling them here, hey, I'm glad you believe that I'm the Messiah. I'm glad you're beginning to believe that I'm the Son of God. But he said, you've got to abide in my word. Now that a word abiding simply means to settle into, to dwell in. It's make your home in my word. So Jesus tells them, look, if you really want to experience freedom, if you really want to experience all that the relationship with God has for you, then you need to abide in my word. He says, if you continue or abide in my word, then you truly are disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, they're already believing part of the truth. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. They're believing that part. But there's so much more to the Word of God. So he says, when you continue in my Word, first of all, you'll know the truth. Absolute truth is found in the Word of God. This is where we go to find truth. It's not talking with professors. It's not talking with theologians. It's not. We can go to them as references. We can go to them and have conversations. But the authority of truth, the real truth, is given in God's Word. And Jesus said, if you'll abide in my Word, you'll know the truth. And then as we know the truth, as we begin to live out the truth and live under the authority of that truth, Jesus said that truth will make you free. Now, how can we be both enslaved to God and free indeed? It seems like a contradiction in terms, because we think of slavery as, well, I don't have any choices, I don't have anything, any say in what goes on. I'm a slave. And that has very negative connotations. We like being free indeed. That's good stuff. But how does slavery equal freedom? It's very simple. It depends on the heart of the master. Amen. It depends on the heart of the one you're enslaved to. When Jesus says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, then in just a few verses, in verse 35 and 36, he says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. He said there's a difference in a slave and a son. The slave says, I've got duties. I've got to keep the rules. I've got to do what I've got to do. I've got to avoid punishment. The son says, hey, there's rules to keep, but there's benefits to keeping those rules. Jesus said, you're a slave to sin. His desire, his purpose in coming is to die for our sins and pay our penalty so that we can be adopted as sons and daughters of God. We're still under God's authority, but our relationship is now different. Look what the Bible says about adoption as sons. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. Says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. See, when I was a young teenager, when I was a young boy living under my parents' roof, I was under their authority. They set rules and guidelines and boundaries, but I was not a slave. Everything that my parents told me to do or not to do was motivated out of benefit for me. See, they set guidelines and they set boundaries to protect me from getting into things that would cause me trouble and cause me harm or cause me to become enslaved to addiction. So all the rules, all the boundaries, all the things that they told me to do and not to do was motivated out of love and wanting the best for me. So I was under authority, but I was under authority of the ones who loved me, who wanted the best for me, who wanted me to not experience the bad things of life, to experience the good things of life. It's the heart of the master that makes the difference. As I got older and got out on my own, got a house note, got a car note, had all kinds of bills to pay, I became a slave to the bill collectors. See, the bank didn't care what was going on in my life. They didn't care about the best for me. They just wanted their money every month on the day it was supposed to be there. The folks that worked at the power company, they didn't really care what was going on in my life or how things were going. They just wanted to make sure I got my bills paid when they're supposed to get paid, or guess what they were going to do? Come cut off my air conditioning in the middle of August. Or my heat in the middle of the winter. They had rules and regulations, but it was so that I would do what they wanted me to do and I would pay what was owed. It wasn't for my best. It wasn't for my good. They just had rules that I had to keep. The same thing with sin. We think, and the world has bought into this idea, that if I'm truly free, well, I can just do what I want to do and live like I want to live. And if I just get out from under this authority they call God, and live according to my own way of doing things and my own thinking, my own logic, live for what's best for me, then I can be free. But the problem is, when we become a slave to sin, the desire of sin is the desire of the one who authored sin, Satan. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The heart of sin The desire of sin is to make your life miserable. So when we become a slave to sin, we become in bondage to sin. We begin to do things that we wish we wouldn't do. We begin to pursue things that are causing us pain and our family pain, but we just can't give it up because we're in bondage, in addiction. We're struggling because we've chosen to, as Paul said in Romans, we've chosen to obey sin, and sin always leads to death. It always leads to destruction. It always leads to bondage and oppression and hurt and pain. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, it's fun for a little while. It's fun for a little while until it gets its claws in you. Whether it be anger. You know, sometimes it's kind of fun to just go off on somebody. Be honest. Don't be super spiritual. Sometimes it's fun to just go off. But man, the results on the other side, the destruction of relationships, the tearing apart of the fabric of a family or relatives or co-workers, the destruction that's caused isn't worth those few moments of relief when we just get it off our chest. Sin always leads to death and destruction and hurt and pain. But if we surrender to the Lord Jesus, He says that we are able to be adopted. Paul says in verse 15 of chapter 8, we're adopted as sons. We have a new spirit. We're a slave. We're under God's authority, but we're under His authority as the children of God. Another passage that talks about the adoption as sons is Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. See, before Jesus came, we had to be perfect in order to get to heaven. We had to do all the right things and sacrifice just right and do all the things that were necessary in order to earn God's forgiveness. But when Jesus came, He paid that penalty for us. He redeemed us from the law. We no longer have to work to be saved. We no longer have to work to earn God's forgiveness. Jesus worked on the cross when He died and took the wrath of God in our place. He bought us back from the law and put us under grace. And now we can be adopted as sons and daughters of God. Still under authority, but a whole different relationship. Another passage it talks about adoption is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Ephesians 1, verse 5. He says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. When God devised before the foundations of the world, when God devised His plan of salvation, He said, I'm going to adopt these children, these people, my creation as sons and daughters. When they accept my gift of salvation, I'm not just going to say, okay, you're no longer a slave to sin. You're going to be my slave. He said, no, I'm going to adopt them as sons and daughters. I'm going to love them better than any earthly father could ever love. I'm going to love them in a way that they can't experience from anyone else on the earth. Jesus talking to the Jews and to the disciples at one time says, look, as a father, as an earthly sinful father, you give good gifts to your children. If your child asks for bread, you don't give him a stone. And if he asks for meat, you don't give him a serpent. So if you who are sinful know how to give good gifts to your children and want to bless your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to bless you and give good things to His children? See, when we accept Jesus Christ and we surrender ourselves as sons and daughters of God, we get under His authority. We're adopted into the family of a God who loves us perfectly. His love is pure and unadulterated by sin. It is always towards us to love us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to avoid the bad things of the world and experience the good things of the world. That's why He puts boundaries in our lives. To avoid the bad and experience as much of the good as earthly possible. To avoid the bad and experience His blessing, His power, and His presence. See, In Christ Jesus, we have freedom in submission to God, because as His children, we're under His care, and everything He does is directed or directs us to do is motivated by pure, unadulterated love, and it's for our good. The more we know Him, the more we trust Him. The more we trust Him, the more we obey Him. The more we obey Him, the more we'll experience His power and provision as He keeps His word. See, the children of God, when we're adopted into His family, we put ourselves under His authority. He says, look, if you'll obey me, if you'll just live like I'm teaching you to live, live within the boundaries that I set, you'll experience my blessing. When you get outside the boundaries, you're going to experience discipline. You're going to begin to experience what sin has for you when you begin to obey sin and present your body as a slave to sin. But if you'll stay within my boundaries, if you'll live under my authority, then I will bless you. I will show you how wonderful of a father I am. Now, I want you to understand, we've got this misguided idea in the church today that if I get saved and I just accept Jesus, Lord and Savior, I get baptized, I join the church, then I can just kind of be a good person. And God's got to bless me. God's got to keep all of His promises in His word because I'm now His child. Well, I want to tell you, that is a false belief.
Amen.
Every promise that Jesus made had a caveat. Every promise that God puts in His word has a prerequisite. Paul put it this way, or if you don't believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews put it this way, it's impossible to please God without faith. See, if we're going to experience the blessings of God, if we want to live under the provision, the power of God, he said we've got to live under His authority. Just like my mom and dad. They set boundaries in my life. As long as I live within those boundaries, I experience their blessing. Because they love me. But when I chose to get outside those boundaries, because they loved me, I experienced their discipline. See, even the discipline of our Father is motivated by love. When we as His children get outside of His authority and begin to live and present our bodies as instruments of unrighteousness, and we start living in sin, we start living like we want to live or like the world says we're supposed to live, we get out from under the truth of His word. Because He loves us, He disciplines us. It's not because He's just sitting up there waiting. Okay, you got to take one more step. I'm going to get you. Get outside. No, that's not how He's sitting in heaven. He's saying, please, stay within the boundaries. Please, stay within the boundaries. You're going to get out here and you're going to experience things. It's going to take you in a direction you never thought you would go. It's going to lead you to do things you never thought you'd do. If you continue this path, it's going to cause you to say things that you never thought you'd say. And He's going to put road bumps in our way, as Brother Tommy talked about Wednesday night. And He's going to discipline us to draw us back into the place where He can bless us and we can experience His promises. So what are some of the promises that are ours in Christ Jesus? Why is it that if we're a slave to God, if we're under His authority, how do we experience freedom? Well, if we're under His authority, then there are certain things that God says, I will do. That's His responsibility. Now, I just grabbed a few of them out of the Bible. These are some of the favorite passages that we like and promises that we like to think about. And I think they kind of run a whole gamut, but it'll help us understand that in submission to God, under His authority, as a slave of God, this is how we experience freedom. The first one is Malachi 3:10. God teaches that we're supposed to give to kingdom work. He talks about the tithe. Many of us think, well, I don't have to tithe. I don't need to tithe. But if we don't tithe, if we don't support the kingdom, if we don't invest in kingdom things, God says you're going to miss out on some blessing. So tithe is not necessarily for the church. As a pastor, I need to encourage you to tithe for you. Because you're going to miss out on some things that God's promised. Look what He says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing until it overflows. See, many people, and I in my own life, in my own family, when we first got married and started having kids, we thought, we can't afford to tithe. But God began to work in our heart, and we began to tithe. We began to test Him. And man, what little bit of money I was giving to the church wasn't doing much for the church, but God was blessing us. Because we were faithful. We demonstrated our trust in Him. We demonstrated our faith in Him by giving to the work of the kingdom and investing in kingdom work. And when we do that, His promises are now available. He keeps His word. But we have to give. We have to surrender. We have to express by faith our trust that He's going to show up when He says He'll show up. We can't sit back and not tithe and wonder why God's not blessing us. Well, the reason He gives us in His Word. We've excluded ourselves from the promise. Another promise, Matthew 6:33. This is my life verse. When God began to deal with me and remind me, hey, I called you to the ministry as a teenager and my plans for you hadn't changed. You've went off on your own long enough and made a mess of your life long enough. You need to come back and get under my authority again. In Matthew 6:33 was the passage He gave me. Why are you anxious for anything? Why are you anxious about your food, your clothes, and where you're going to live? He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. The promise is that I will provide everything that you need. The caveat is I'll provide it when you start putting me as preeminent in your life. See, we wonder why we're struggling so much as Christians and as children of God. Hey, I believe in God. I've accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. Why aren't I experiencing all these promises, He says? Well, the first question we got to ask, are you living under His authority? Are you doing what He says? Jesus very plainly said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? See, God's grace is ours, our salvation is ours, but there's a lot of blessings that we're missing out on because we're not living under His authority. There's freedom. See, I don't have to worry about what kind of house I'm going to have, and I don't have to worry about a job, and I don't have to worry about clothes for my family. Jesus said, your job description is to seek me first in my kingdom and my righteousness. That's what you're supposed to do. When you do that, my responsibility, God says, is to make sure you've got everything that you need. But when I begin to think, okay, I've got to make sure I take care of this, God. I've got to work all the politics out here and here so I can make sure I keep my job. I've got to make sure I can get this job and work and do this and get... When that becomes our focus and we begin to quit continuing in His Word, rather than being generous and loving and kind, we become very selfish and self-centered. See, it's freedom is found when we're surrendered to Christ, because now all I've got to do is pursue Him and His righteousness above everything else, and God's going to take care of the rest. That's His promise. Another one is in Romans 8:28. And we know that God calls us all things to work together for good. We love that. But we forget the rest of it. For those who love God. Oh, well, I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Love God, live for God. Then God will work all things together for good. Doesn't mean all things are going to be good, but it'll be like Joseph. When his brothers sold him into slavery, at the end, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he said, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good. So even those people who are out to get you, and even those people who are against you, even those people that hate you because you're a follower of Christ, whatever they do, God's able to turn to good. Another passage in Romans chapter 8:31. What shall we say then? If God's for us, who can be against us? That's all in the context of loving God and living for His purpose. See, we want the promise. We just don't want to live in surrender. But to get the promise, we've got to live under God's authority. Another passage. It's Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. You get tired of worrying? You ever get stressed out? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Quit trying to handle it yourself. Quit trying to do it in your wisdom and your power and your ability. I want to be God. I want to determine what's going to happen. I want to make these decisions. God said, no, you just surrender to me. Live under my authority. Tell me what's going on. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, when we begin to stress out over things, we think we've got to handle it. We get out from under God's authority. I'm a child of God, but I'm living out from under His authority because I've got to take care of this myself, and I get stressed out. Then I begin to, my heart begins to get hard. My heart begins to get greedy. My heart begins to get bitter towards people because things aren't going like I want them to, and I begin to get aggravated and frustrated, and I begin to think wrong because I've gotten out from under God's authority. I've got from under the truth of His Word. I'm no longer continuing in His Word. I'm trying to make things happen like I think they ought to happen. So I get stressed out and overwhelmed, and I have stinking thinking and stinking actions. Because it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I begin to say things that I know aren't true. Say things that are hurtful and hateful. Because I'm trying to make people do what I want them to do. I'm trying to win arguments rather than winning souls. Jesus said there is great freedom. I'm glad you believe that I'm the Christ. I'm glad you believe that I'm the Son of God. But if you believe to be my disciple, you've got to continue in my word. And when you continue in my word, you'll begin to know the truth. The more you know me, the more you'll trust me. The more you trust me, the more you obey me. The more you obey me, the more you'll see my power and my faithfulness in your life. And even though you're under my authority, you're a slave of God, you'll begin to experience the great benefit, the great blessing that I have for you. The truth will set you free. The truth is, the greatest freedom is found when we're a slave of God. We surrender our hearts and our lives to His authority. We live under His authority. We dwell under the truth of His Word and under His authority. And there's great freedom. Because now I don't have to worry about the things that are God's job description. I just got to worry about enjoying living under His blessing and living in relationship with Him. See, when I was a teenager, man, I didn't have to worry about all those things that mom and dad took care of. I just had to make sure, okay, I'm going to stay under their authority. And when I stay under their authority, I'm going to experience great blessing, great relationship, great joy. It was a, man, I grew up in a family that I loved being in. We still love to get together. We had godly parents. I know that wasn't all of our experience. Some of you experienced a terrible home life. And your mom and dad maybe weren't very good godly examples. And they didn't do everything motivated out of love. But don't let sinful people warp your idea or your understanding of God. God loves you. God sent His Son to die for you so that you could become His sons and His daughters, to live under His authority and experience the joy of His presence every day. And yeah, He gives us some boundaries. But every boundary that He gives us in His Word is to keep us from experiencing the hurt, the death, the destruction of sin. and keep us in a position where we can experience all that He has for us. Today, maybe you're here and you've always wanted to be free. You've always wanted to be able to do your own thing. Maybe you've always looked forward to just getting 21 where you can just do what you want, when you want, how you want. Nobody can tell you what to do. If you're over 21, you figured out that's not the case. There's a whole laundry list of people in authority over you. You know, you could go to a deserted island where you were the only person on that island, and there would still be governing laws called the laws of nature that you'd have to adhere to or you would die. There's nowhere you can go where you're absolutely free. So you've just got to decide who you're going to be a slave to. Who's going to be the master of your life? Your own self, who's sinful? Who makes poor decisions? Who messes up constantly? Who doesn't know much about anything? Or are you going to surrender your life to a loving Father, the one who created all the world and sent His Son to die for you so you could be His child? He wants only the best for you and sent His Son to provide it for you. If you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, I beg you today, surrender your heart and your life to Jesus. Experience true freedom and joy and hope. If you're here and you have accepted Christ, there was a time in your life where you honestly meant, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to surrender my heart and my life to you. And you were baptized. You're part of a church. But now you've kind of drifted off out here and you're kind of doing things on your own. And you're understanding, I'm not experiencing what the Bible says I'm supposed to experience as a child of God. I'm not seeing God's power in my life. I'm not seeing God's provision in my life. The first thing I would invite you to do is begin to take an assessment of your life. Are you living under the authority of God's Word? Are you submitting every thought to God's Word? Are you taking it captive? Are you letting the Holy Spirit begin to change your heart and your attitude about things? Are you surrendering your life to Jesus? Because it's only in that surrender can we experience the promises of God. And if we're not experiencing the promises of God, one of two things is happening, and really only one. One, God's a liar. God's not a liar. He always keeps His promises.
Amen.
So if I'm not experiencing the promises of God, then there must be something in my life that's preventing it. Now sometimes bad things happen to teach us patience. Paul says that we are to persevere in hardships and trials because sometimes God sends trials and persecutions in our lives so that it will develop perseverance and develop our faith. So just because things are going bad doesn't mean we're not experiencing God's blessing. But if we know that there are things in God's Word that my life doesn't line up to, and I know that, but I've just been doing my own thing and refusing to surrender, then you're short-circuiting the blessings and the promises of God. You're tying His hands because He is righteous, He is holy, and He cannot bless an unholy life when it's lived purposefully. So today, I want to invite you, accept Jesus if you never have. If you have, maybe today's the day you need to recommit your life and get back under God's authority and come down here to this altar maybe and just pray and say, God, before all these people, I'm going to come down, I'm just going to bow down before You to let them know I am bowing down to You and Your authority in my life. Maybe you're here and there's people in your family or people that you're trying to witness to share with, that you know they're outside, but you're just struggling with how do you help them understand the freedom that's in Christ Jesus. Maybe you need to come up here and you need to bow down and pray over them. Ask God to use you and show you and let you be an example of the freedom in Christ Jesus and the love that's found as we live under the truth of God's Word. Whatever you need to do today, I beg you, please surrender to Jesus. Live under His authority and see what God will do. Let's stand. We're going to sing. And I'm going to invite you to come. If you want to come and share with me that, hey, I'm accepting Christ, my Lord and Savior, you come and you want to tell me, hey, I'm rededicating my life. I want you to pray with me. There's nothing special about me, but sometimes just coming down front, making it public that, hey, God's working in my life will help keep you accountable and encourage the church that maybe we need to be accountable about some things too. If you need to come down front, the altar's open. We're going to pray and sing, and you do business with the Lord. God, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the truth of your word, the power that's in it, the promises that are in it. Thank you for allowing us to be sons and daughters of the one true and the living God. But God, we need the faith to surrender. We need the faith to live obedient. God, we want to experience more of your love. We want to experience more of your provision. We want to experience more of your presence in our life. So God, whatever it is in our life that's preventing that, is the sin that we have and harboring in our heart that's preventing us from seeing that and experiencing that, God, I pray you reveal it to us today. Give us the faith to repent, get back under your authority, live in the truth of your word. If someone here doesn't know you, God, I pray today would be the day of surrender where their life begins anew. They experience the rebirth in Jesus Christ. God, may you have your way in our hearts and our lives today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.